Let's turn to Mark chapter 5, and tonight I'm going to help you learn how to share your testimony. Last week, as I was preaching out of Jonah on that rebuke that the shipmaster gave to Jonah, Jonah was asleep there in the ship while the sailors were perishing. And he rebuked him for sleeping, and I believe that that's often a rebuke to us too as a church. The lost world out there is perishing, and we're not doing anything about it. I'm not saying we're not doing anything. I'm not speaking of everybody, but in general, I'm just saying we need that challenge to wake up and to get out there and share the gospel with those who are lost. And I think one of the best ways to begin sharing the gospel with someone is to learn how to share your testimony. Before we get into that, I want to read this story in Mark 5, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with it, but we're going to really focus in on verse 19 and 20. But let's just read the story beginning in verse 1, Mark chapter 5, beginning verse 1. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done. And they come to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he is coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said to him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." What a great story. I mean, for some, it may be a little bit strange to our day and time, but I'm telling you, this is a man that was possessed of many devils, and he was under the control and influence of these devils, and Jesus came and set him free. And I love what it says about this man in verse 15. He was sitting clothed in his right mind. You know, that's a picture of salvation. I mean, this man was in bondage to these devils. Now he's set free. Now he is in his right mind. Now he's not running about the country. He's not cutting himself. And verse 18 tells us that he wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to go with him, be with him. You know, when you get saved, you want to be with the Lord, right? You want to know the Lord more. You want to be in church. You want to be around God's people. But Jesus told him to go home. Go to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. And I like what the Bible says in verse 20. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let me tell you the good news tonight about sharing your testimony. I'm sure for some of you, you're probably thinking, oh no. You know, I know that there are members even in our church that would be afraid tonight to share their testimony with the church. I'm just being honest. I know that's true. There's some that's like that. But I want you to know that you don't have to be a great speaker. You don't have to be a great teacher to share your salvation testimony. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to share your testimony. We find here this man, he was a demon-possessed man. He was living out there among the tombs, but yet he knew what Jesus did for him. And he went out and began to tell everyone the great things that Jesus had done for him. Now, before we get into this, and before you begin to think, well, I'm not sure I want to learn how to share my testimony, because, you know, some people decide before the message whether they're going to like it or not. They decide before the message whether they're going to be, interested in listening to it. But I want to encourage you to stay with me. I want to encourage you. Some of you have already shared your testimony, maybe this will help you to refine that testimony. Maybe it'll encourage you to share it outside the walls of this church. Share it with your friends. Share it with lost people. Share it with family members so that they might be saved. But before we get into it, I want to just say this. If you cannot tell someone how Christ has saved you and given you eternal life, and I want you to listen to this. If you can't tell someone what Jesus did for you, then perhaps you might be a mission field yourself and need someone to tell you about Jesus. I mean, let's stop and think about that. Tonight, the first question, what is a testimony? What is a testimony? You know, the reason I ask that question, I know some of the members that have been here a long time, been saved a long time, are probably thinking that's an insult to my intelligence. But, you know, when I went to Ghana, I remember people like, what's a testimony? They had no clue. And it made me realize, and I believe even today in many churches and even right here in America, they don't know what a testimony is. They don't have a clue. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we use a lot of terms that the lost world has no idea what we're talking about. And so we're going to answer this question, what is a testimony? And here's what Webster says. He defines it as a solemn declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact. That's the first part of it. So it's a solemn declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact. The second part there is a testimony is the declaration of a witness. In other words, it comes from a witness, someone who has witnessed, has seen and heard or experienced something. They give witness. And probably the best way we can relate to it would be if you were ever called to serve as jury duty, and you go and have to listen to testimonies of witnesses. That's a good example. People that actually witness something happen, and they get up and they give a testimony for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact. You know, in the New Testament, in the Greek New Testament, when the Bible, the New Testament was first written, we know it was written in Greek, and it was the word martyria. And it's a word that we derive the word today in English, martyr. I want you to stop and think about that one for just a moment. A martyr. What is a martyr? It's a witness who dies for his testimony in Christ. And someone who dies giving their testimony for what Christ has done for them. In simpler terms tonight, basically what it is tonight, what is a testimony, is simply sharing your salvation story. It's sharing what Christ done for you. Just like in our text in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus said, I want you to go to your friends and I want you to tell them what great things the Lord had done for you and how He had compassion on you. That's what it is. It's just simply sharing your salvation testimony, sharing what Christ did for you, how you came to know Christ as your Savior, how you came to have eternal life and know for sure that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. That's all it is. It's just a story about what God did for you. I want to just give a few verses that use the word witness or testimony, or that word martyria. One is in Acts 22:15. And this is actually part of Paul's testimony that he gives. There are three that we'll be looking at here in just a moment here in Acts. But in this verse, Jesus said, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. I really like that verse because it kind of expands on that word witness. As you look at it, it says, of what thou hast seen and heard. So we need to understand something. To be a witness, you have to see and hear it. And you know, if you're going to share a salvation testimony, you have to have seen the salvation of the Lord. You've had to have experienced it in your life to be a witness of that salvation. I've shared my salvation testimony many times, but I don't know if you remember, before I was saved, we were at camp, and we were sitting in the dorm room, and I was not saved at that time, and I was a 12-year-old boy, and we were having dorm devotions, and it was going around the room in a circle. And that particular night, they were sharing salvation testimonies. And I want to tell you something, that I was under deep conviction, because also I was very fearful, because I'm like, when it gets to me, I don't know what I can say because I'm not saved. And so when it got to me, I just said, I passed to the next person. I didn't say anything. I didn't share anything because I had nothing to share. And so the point is, if you're not saved, you can't be a witness for Christ. And so it's someone who has experienced salvation. And then if you'll look on down in verse 18 in that same chapter that uses the word testimony, he says, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So here, as Paul is sharing his testimonies, he's explaining that how that the Lord had told him that they're not going to believe your testimony in Jerusalem. You're going to have to leave here and go. I'm sending you to the Gentiles. You know, God had a plan for Paul to go out to the Gentiles. But here we see that word testimony concerning me. One other verse I love that has to do with the word testimony is in Revelation 12:11. In Revelation 12:11, this is a verse the previous verse talking about Satan, the accuser of the brethren. He's cast down, and it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto their death. That's how they overcame Satan. Those three things. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto their death. What does it mean they love not their lives unto the death? It means they were willing to be martyrs for their faith, for their testimony in Christ. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? You know, the Lord changes your life, you know. It should cause us to be willing to give whatever is necessary to serve Him. Tonight, we look at number two. We're going to look at three essentials of a good testimony. Three essentials of a good testimony. In the book of Acts here, the Apostle Paul gave his testimony three different times. And we find it in chapter 9, chapter 22, and in chapter 26. And we're not going to have time to go through and read each of those three, but I'm just going to kind of pick and choose some of them, some parts of them. But you can go back and you can study these testimonies given by the Apostle Paul. But based on these three testimonies in the book of Acts, we can pull out three things that are essential to a good testimony. And this is going to help you in sharing your testimony. You need to have these three things in your testimony. And it's very simple and basic, but it's important. The first one is what I was before I received eternal life. What I was before I received eternal life. You know, I want to just look at an example. In chapter 9, in verse 1, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." You know, before Paul was saved, he was a persecutor of the church. It says he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Well, Acts 9 is actually his actual salvation, how it happened. But when you go to chapter 22, let's go over to chapter 22, for example. In verse 3, here Paul's given his testimony to the Jewish people after there was a mob that mobbed him. The Roman soldiers rescued him, and he had opportunity to give his defense to them. And he says in verse 3, "I'm barely a man, which I'm a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in the city, this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness in all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters to the brethren, went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound to Jerusalem for to be punished." So Paul is sharing his testimony. He's sharing how he was before he received eternal life, how he was before he was saved. He shares it also in chapter 26. You can go there and you can look at the first part of his testimony in chapter 26, and you'll find some of these same things. He was a persecutor. He was a blasphemer. He went out to arrest Christians. He gave testimony against those that were being tried, and he stood against them. And he had a part in seeing Christians put to death. I mean, Paul just came out and shared exactly what it was like before he was saved. And so as you begin to share your testimony, this is a very important thing you need to think about, and is to share something about what you were before you were saved. And don't give a tedious life history, okay? You know, most people you're talking to, they're not going to care about a lot of the details of your past life. But you do need to give a few things that would help them to see and relate to of what it's like to be lost. And it's really good to get to know people. As you get to know them, you get to know about their background, you get to know a little bit about their life, and it can help you to tailor. And I'm not saying by tailor your testimony, I'm not saying to make up something, be honest in your testimony, but what I'm saying is to apply it to their situation, help them to be able to see themselves in you. You know, for example, you might be talking to someone that's, you as you're getting to talk to them, you can sense that they're self-righteous, that they're trusting. You know, I'm a good church member. I go to church, and because of that, I know I'm gonna go to heaven when I die. Well, you might consider something. I know in my personal testimony, for example, I would share something like, you know, I grew up in church. We were in church every Sunday. And as I sat in church week after week after week after week, I finally realized I wasn't saved. The Holy Spirit began to convict me of my sin and help me to see that going to church did not save me. So you get what I'm saying? You need to connect with them and relate to them, identify with them, and share what your life was before Christ. You may share what your life revolved around. Maybe your life revolved around your job. Maybe it revolved around sports or something like that. But then later, those things begin to fail you. They didn't give you peace, or they didn't give you what you were seeking until you found Christ. So let me just say again, keep this first point brief. Don't be tedious in your life history. Don't give a long life history. It's better you spend more time on the next two points when you're sharing your testimony, which involve the gospel. So let's look at the second one real quick. How I received eternal life. How I received eternal life. You know, here in chapter 22, as Paul is giving his testimony before these Jews, it says in verse 6, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go to Damascus, and it will be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." I'm just going to stop there, but you can also go and compare in chapter 9 and chapter 26, but basically, what you come down to is this is Paul's salvation testimony. And listen, everybody's testimony is different of how the Lord brought you to faith in Christ. It's different. How the Lord brought Paul to faith in Christ is different than what we're going to see today for sure. I mean, I've never heard a testimony in my life of somebody getting a light out of heaven and hearing Jesus literally speak out of heaven to them. You know, but he did with Paul. I mean, back in that time, and he called Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles. That's exactly how it happened. But he shares how he came to know Christ, how he came to put his faith in Christ. And I like in chapter 26 that he tells King Agrippa, here he's sharing his testimony with King Agrippa, And in verse 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to heavenly vision, but I showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." You know, he talks about repentance. And you know, Paul, that's what Paul happened to him. Repentance is it's a change of heart. It's a change of mind about your sin, and it's a turning to God. That's what repentance is. You know, Paul was going to Damascus. What was he doing? He was going to arrest Christians. He was going there. He had letters from the high priest with authority to go there and arrest Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem to be tried, to be put in prison, to be put to death. So he was intent on this. But when he met the Lord, what happened? All that changed. I mean, Paul in Acts 9, he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Because when he said, "Lord, who art thou? Who are you that I'm persecuting?" He said, "I am Jesus." You know, it was Paul said he was kicking against the pricks, that conviction. He was under conviction, and there he met the Lord, and his heart at that point, there was repentance, because now he's, instead of persecuting Jesus, instead of trying to destroy the way, you know, the preaching about Jesus, here he is saying, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" He is actually confessing Jesus as his Lord. He's actually submitting to the Lord. "Lord, what would you have me to do now?" So you see repentance on his part, but Paul shares his testimony, how he received Christ. And you know, in this part of our testimony, don't be vague. Don't be vague, but share how you came to Christ. And we need to be clear with people. You know, sometimes I ask people about their testimony, and it's so vague that a lost person could not know how to be saved by hearing what they just shared. We need to make it simple but yet clear. We need to share the gospel in our testimony even. You know, some people will say something like, "Well, you know, one Sunday I walked down the aisle and the preacher prayed with me and I got saved." That's why I'm saying vague. That's vague. And I hope that's not what you're trusting, because, you know, that's not what saves us. Walking down an aisle and having the preacher pray with us, that's not what saves a sinner. What saves a sinner is when we recognize we're sinner and recognize we're lost and that Christ is the only way. And we come to Him and we cry out to Him, "Lord, save me. For I'm a sinful man." You know, that's when we get saved. And so we need to be careful when we're sharing people, you know, how we came to faith in Christ. You know, often when I share my testimony, I will share how that, you know, the Holy Spirit had been working on my heart, you know, for some time. And He had been showing me that I was lost. He was showing me that I was on my way to hell. He was showing me that my works were insufficient. And I fought against it for a long time. And it finally came to the place where I, as God was speaking to my heart and calling me to come to Him, I answered that call. I stepped out of the aisle. Yes, I did. I stepped out of the aisle and I went forward and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's simple. But yet it explains the gospel. It explains, because I just explained that I was a sinner, that works are insufficient, and that I trusted Jesus Christ. And so it's important that we kind of, you know, share the about sin, about the penalty of sin, and what Christ did to save us, and how we put our faith and our trust in Him. And so be clear. Be clear. The third one, how my life changed since receiving eternal life. This is the third part. So first part is what I was before I received Christ. And then how I received eternal life. But the last one is how my life changed since receiving eternal life. You know, when you read the testimony of Paul, it says straightway he preached Christ. I mean, his life changed dramatic. I mean, after Paul was saved, he went in, he met Ananias, and he was baptized, and then it says straightway, right there in Damascus, he began to preach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You talk about a transforming change in a person's life. Someone that was a persecutor set on killing Christians to now preaching Christ that he is the Son of God. What a difference. And as I read in Acts 26, verse 19 and 20, he told King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. That vision was Jesus told him, verse 18, that he was to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins, inheritance of them among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so he was not disobedient. He began to immediately go out and preach. He began to go out and share with people that they should repent and turn to God. And so we need to include in our testimony how our decision to trust Christ as our Savior, how it changed our life. How it changed maybe your character. Maybe it changed your attitude. Maybe it changed your perspective on life. Maybe it changed your desires, your motivation. I know that when I was saved, my desires changed. You know, before I was saved, I didn't want to go to church. I didn't have a choice. See, my daddy drug me to church. I had to be pretty sick to stay home. And so, but honestly, I would sit in church and didn't listen. I didn't pay attention most of the time. I was off in my own world, just there because I had to be there. But, you know, when I was saved, that was a total change in that. I wanted to be there. I wanted to learn. I wanted to grow and study the Bible and pray. All those things change in your life when you get saved. You know, our life's not perfect, is it, since we got saved? But we can share how that knowing Christ helps us deal with the shortcomings in our life. How that knowing Christ helps us deal with whatever it is. And again, you can, based on the person you're sharing Christ with, you can relate to them how Christ, as he helped you, he can help them. He can give them life and help them deal with what they're going through in their life as well. You know, one of the things that I think is good, after sharing your testimony, it's good to address that person by their name and ask them, for example, Jim, has anything like this ever happened to you? You know, because the point of our testimony is not just to share the story. It's to engage them and to consider whether they have eternal life or not. And so we can ask them, has there ever been a time in your life that this something like this has happened in your life? And see, right there, in just a short time, you've shared your testimony, and now you've asked them a question. They may say, well, no, I don't believe this has ever happened to me. I don't believe I've ever had anything like that happen. Well, then that can cause the second question would be, Jim, would you mind if I showed you from the Bible how you too can have eternal life? And see, right there, the testimony just led me to that point to where I can share with them. Because, you know, a lot of people, they're a lot more likely to listen to your life story or your salvation story than they are for you to start out with the Bible. Than they are for you to start out and say, hey, are you going to go to heaven when you die, or are you going to hell? I mean, people are like, I don't have time for this. See you later. But if you're building a friendship with them, you're just talking to them, just, you know, and share your story. Share your story with them. Maybe it's somebody that visited church. You go and you visit them. You say, after you get to talking a while about their family, their kids, and you say, well, what's your church background? What did you grow up in church? And get them talking about their story, their church background. And then after they share their story, then you can share your story. And then it leads up to those questions that I just shared with you. And so it's really not that hard to do. This last point, work on and practice sharing your testimony. You know, I want to encourage you to do this. This message tonight is not just a lesson, and then after we close in prayer, it's over. I want you to go home, and maybe not tonight. It might be a little late for you, but over the next week, start working on writing out your testimony based on these three things that we just went over. What your life was before, how you received salvation, and how it's changed since. And there's some principles I want to share with you very quickly before we close. The first one is pray before you write out your testimony. Spend some time praying. Ask God for wisdom. You know, it's always good to pray and seek the Lord. So before you write it out, start praying. Ask the Lord to help you. The next thing is be honest. Be honest. Don't share lies with people. A witness is, remember, it's something to verify a fact. What's that fact we're trying to share? That Christ is the Savior of the world. That Christ died for sinners, and He's able to save sinners that trust Him. We are trying to verify that fact by our testimony. Don't lie. Be honest. Share facts with people. And so be honest with your testimony. And then keep it between 3 to 5 minutes. 3 to 5 minutes. You're thinking, really? Yeah. Keep it short. Keep it short. You read through Paul's testimony, it won't take you more than 5 minutes to read his testimony. It's not long. And you don't want to spend 30 minutes with your testimony, because by then people are like, well, it's time, I've got to get back to cooking dinner or whatever. You know, keep it short, 3 to 5 minutes. And that's, you know, I've asked several Sunday nights and people to share salvation testimony, and that's what we're asking, 3 to 5 minutes, just short, brief, including these three things. The next thing is keep it conversational or natural. You know, the purpose of writing out a testimony is not to memorize it. It's not to give it verbatim. It's just to help you to put in words some important details about your salvation testimony. And so keep it natural. Write it like a conversation. Don't write it like you're going to turn it into your English teacher for a grammar check, okay? That it has to be proper English and all. Just write it in a conversational way. The next thing is practice sharing it with your spouse or your children or your friends. You know, as you write it out, the more you start practicing, you're going to go back and rewrite some things. You might go back and add some things. But practice. Practice, practice, practice. You know what? That's what gives you confidence, if you practice. I remember we was in personal evangelism in Bible college. I had not witnessed very much before that time. I went out with Brother Tracy, Terry's brother, and remember we used to go out visitation with a lot, and I'd watch him on-the-job training. I'd be watching him share Christ with others, and it came to a point where I thought, man, I can do that. But when I went to Bible college, you know, I hadn't witnessed to a whole lot of people, but I remember we had to practice, and then we had to go out and share it with somebody that's a stranger or something like that, somebody that's not in our family or in our class. And so I want you to write it out and practice it. Work on sharpening and perfecting your testimony to where you can share it just with anyone at a drop of a hat. Next thing, avoid using Christian cliches or phrases that the lost would not understand. We have to be real careful on how we talk to lost people. I mean, even terminology, I know this is a Bible term, believing on Jesus. I believed in Jesus for salvation. When we do share that, we need to explain it, what it means, you know, trusting, relying on Him for salvation. A cliche that we might use a lot about that is, I asked Jesus into my heart. But you know, that's not really a biblical thing. I don't see it in the Scripture anywhere. But we use that phrase a lot, but you hear it in church. But I see in the Bible, repent and believe. Repent and believe. But be careful about phraseology that we might use in church that maybe they wouldn't understand, like justification, for example, sanctification, glorification. I mean, these are biblical terms, but be careful. Keep it simple. You're talking to lost people. Remember that. So then lastly, pray and ask God to help you share your testimony with the lost. You know, this is something that every single one of us here tonight can do if you're saved. Every single one of us can share a testimony of how we were saved. And like I said, if you can't, maybe you need someone to share Christ with you. And so I want to challenge you to spend some time working on it. And Sunday nights, we're going to give opportunities for people to share their testimony from time to time. I'm not going to force anybody. Nobody here will be ever forced to give their testimony. But you know what? You should want to. You know why? Because, I mean, if you're like that man that had the legion and the Lord changed your life, then you should want to share that story. I mean, when I first got saved, I couldn't wait to tell other people what happened. I couldn't wait to come home and tell my parents I got saved at camp. You know, tell my cousin I got saved. You know, that's something we should want to do. But sometimes in our Christian life, we get comfortable. We get to the place where we don't ever share our testimony anymore. But you know what? I'd like to hear your testimony. I'm sure other people in the church would like to hear your testimony of how God saved you. You never know. Someone might be in the church service. You're sharing your testimony and they're convicted and they realize that they need to get saved. So work on your testimony. Practice it. And this last verse we're going to close with, 1 Peter 3:15. Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So he tells us, be ready always to give an answer. And that's the purpose of the message tonight, to help you get your testimony down, write it out, practice it, learn it, get to where you can share it in 3 to 5 minutes, and so you can be ready to give an answer. Anytime someone asks you a reason of hope, you can give a testimony. Well, let me share with you what Jesus did in my life. Well, let's stand and we're going to close in prayer. And after we close in prayer, let's take some time to fellowship together before we go home and encourage one another before we leave. And let's not forget, if you haven't signed up for the chili supper and Crossroads bake auction for Friday night. Be sure and sign up tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for what Jesus has done for us. And Lord, I pray that you would stir us up and help us, Lord, that we can share our salvation testimony with others. And Lord, to give us that boldness and Lord, the confidence that we need. Lord, there are many people that around us that if we just simply shared our testimony, it could make an eternal difference in their life. It could be something that would cause them to come to Christ and trust Him as their Savior. Father, we thank you for the challenge tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you.